I found this in Ganner room. Ganner near.
What is it?
Well, it's. It's a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan. With me, as always,
Aaron O'Brien.
And also,
Faith Hertzberg.
And then we also have a guest with us today,
Andrew Dume.
Yes. Okay, so what are we doing today, guys?
We are talking Starfleet doctors. Who is the best of all the doctors? Or who we think is the best?
All right, who is the best doctor? We're going to talk about the doctors, rating them by medical skill, and then also we'll talk about personally how we like them as people, because these lists will probably not be the same.
Bedside manner.
Absolutely not. They probably will not be the same whatsoever.
Like medical skill versus how much we like them, probably. Yeah, it's not going to be close.
Right. Yeah, so we have so many, through every series, we have different types of doctors or incarnations of doctors, and they play such a pivotal role in a lot of the stories. I mean, they don't just patch up the captains and the first officers, but they also kind of are sometimes about the guiding light sometimes to those people, or sometimes they are... the person that's going to save the whole crew if there is a disease that's going to kill them all.
Outbreaks.
Yeah, there's the occasional outbreak that comes along and they have to figure it out, which I always think is astounding that they can solve a disease in a matter of 45 minutes.
Less, because there's other parts of the episode other than the disease discovery recovery.
Yeah.
So, the genesis of this episode is at work. Andrew and I were kind of talking about the doctors, and I was saying how personality-wise that I feel like the Doctor and Bones are kind of similar personality, and he disagreed with me. And so that was kind of like, oh, well, we can disagree on air. That would be more fun, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's, air our dirty laundry.
Let's put our dirty laundry out there for everyone to stink it up.
All right, so who wants to start with their list as the doctors go? Medical skill down. Let's start with medical skill down, then we'll go how much we actually like them.
Well, why don't we let our guests go first, since you guys are the ones who started this argument.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. So when I was reading these, I kind of rated the medical skill by, their versatility, their bedside manner, and their research. At the top of my list, Beverly Crusher. She figured out how to take all the stuff out of Locutus. She expanded on Bones's...
naked now disease?
Yes, I believe that's it, yeah. The one where she had to change the antigen for the mutated virus. She's nice. She's not like Bones. She's not a jerk. And she doesn't have that country doctor thing. Like, she's very professional. I mean, she went to Starfleet Medical for the second season when Pulaski came back.
She loves Irish ghosts.
I thought it was Scottish.
Yeah, it's Scottish ghosts.
It's a Scottish ghost.
But who doesn't love a good Scottish ghost in the sack?
But he's not really a Scottish ghost. He's more an alien.
I know. That's true.
And, she's the most versatile, in my opinion. I mean, she's definitely can think on her feet.
All right. What's your next one?
That would be Phlox. Once again, for the versatility, I don't know if it should be in the first list or the second. But he's got three wives, so the guy can think on his feet.
And he's trying to pick up a fourth, that ensign.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
right?
He's just like, yeah, it's
cool. And he's got to deal with the husbands of his wives. I mean,
right.
That takes some skill right there.
Yeah, that does. I'll give you that.
He's got a different perspective than most of the other doctors because he's an alien. His bedside manner is great. I mean, there's a couple of zingers in some of the in parts of Enterprise, and he's pretty funny. He's got all the menagerie going on there. And he was able, his research was more on the go too, when the augments took over in the fourth season, and he had to figure out how to cure the Klingons from the augments that they, the retrovirus that happened from the,
right.
from trying to make
right.
augments.
Yeah. Right. He did that pretty well.
He's also a holistic healer. He keeps leeches and bats and other creepy crawlies around.
And, he's right up there with McCoy or Pulaski, with their, 20th century medicine, like splints and just, good old fashioned suck it up, like McCoy. next would be the Doctor. Versatile because he has all the databases of every Starfleet doctor. He can think on his feet. I mean, they did make him that emergency command hologram later in Voyager. And he kind of was lower on the list because of his bedside manner. Because he's kind of, he's kind of pretentious. I mean, he listens to opera. He writes his own book, and he thinks he's kind of uppity. And
his bedside manner was bad before he started listening to opera.
Yeah, they didn't have much to do with it.
Yeah.
Although maybe it helped his appreciation of opera.
Next was Bashir, and Bashir, I don't know. I put him there just because he was better than McCoy and Pulaski. Other than him curing the Dominion cure, and he didn't really cure it. He just gave a vaccine for the in utero children.
I can't think of anything notable for Bashir, other than just treating basic wounds.
I mean, he was in Section 31. But that doesn't really count because it's not like it was
that's
outside
like your,
of his,
that's your side job.
Well, I mean, he diagnosed people's disease from like really obscure like
I just
facts
can't, because I can't,
he couldn't
I can't
he
name
couldn't get actual.
Bashir did a lot of things, but I can't think of anything skill wise that make me go, "Wow, that's a notable thing."
He graduated second in his class.
He was also an augment. Come on, that's cheating.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's why he held back and got second instead of first. Oh, he also there was
he did, he, but he did say that he did do that. He said that he held himself back for some reason. I can't remember what the reason was.
It
but
was because he was an augment, I'm sure.
No, but there was like a psychological reason he said. I can't remember what the.
Well, he also there was a whole episode where they crashed on this planet with sick people, and he cures that disease, but it doesn't cure them immediately. It's kind of just cures the children, the progeny,
mm-hmm.
so the race will live on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think. He made the retarded augment unretarded.
He underped the derp.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And then proceeded to fall in love with her and try to get in her pants.
That's the only reason why he did it.
I one thing about Bashir, obviously, he would be a kind of guy you want to go out with a drink for,
or to the Alamo,
and the Alamo, or to the Alamo.
I'm surprised he didn't just be a general doctor. Why he wasn't like Doctor Proctology or something like that?
I do have a proctologist named Doctor Bashir that I visited before.
Did you really? Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. My regular proctologist was actually out, and I got referred to one in the same medical group, and his name was Doctor Bashir.
Wait a second. No, let me just put
Bashir was his first name, not his last name.
Did you? Oh, that was his. It was his first name.
But he's still Doctor Bashir. I couldn't pronounce his last name, so I called him Doctor Bashir.
Did you tell him?
No. But I did go home and post this on Facebook, and people were like, I wouldn't let anyone named Dr. Bashir near my butt.
He's like, oh, yeah.
He's got to have the skills and the training by then.
I know.
Other people must have known about the Alamo before we got onto it.
I think that was something everyone realized. I don't know.
So. We just brought it to light, guys.
Next would be McCoy.
He's the one willing to open the closet door.
There you go.
Yes.
So five is McCoy, huh?
Five is McCoy. I don't know. His bedside manner is I can flip flop on it just because he's a jerk. He's a jerk. He's most of it's most like just suck it up and deal with it. But yet in Star Trek IV, he goes to San Francisco Medical and he cures that woman of her arthritis with like a shot. And he's
a
just
pill.
Like flipping out. Was it a pill?
She had dialysis. That's what she was kidney dialysis. Her kidneys were failing.
But then he was, you know, he thought it was like from medieval ages or medieval
dialysis. What is this? The medieval ages?
Yeah, that's great.
And then there's the scene in Friday's Child where he is touching the pregnant woman, and she's like, no. And then touching her, and then no. And then she slaps him, and he goes to touch her again, and then she slaps him again, and then he just wails on her. And I don't know if that was McCoy being McCoy.
That's a 60s hard love.
Exactly. It was like the sexism of the 60s. I don't know.
Well, to be fair, that race was really belligerent.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
They were really belligerent. Like, I wanted to slap her just because just who she was as a character.
I mean, she got a revenge. She got, you know, he got a rock to the back of his head. So.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And then
with 23rd century medicine, does he really need to touch her belly 16 times?
Well, I think he was just trying to.
He didn't have a tricorder. He didn't have any of his medical stuff. I mean,
you can look at it and figure it out.
McCoy's good in a pinch, like that kind of stuff. You know,
Gorkon doesn't think so.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know anything about his anatomy, man.
You know,
haven't we been at war with Klingons? Haven't we like dissected them or something by this point?
Apparently, he's not up on those journals.
And then last would be Pulaski.
Poor Pulaski. She's going to be at the bottom of everybody's
list.
Yeah,
I mean, she's just
shafted.
I'm definitely with Dave on the way she treats Data. Like it's just. Or she's Data, if you will.
Oh, and she, doesn't even say his name right.
I know. It's just.
She's a terrible, terrible person.
You know, he complains about the way she says his name, and then she's like, oh, let me use a tricorder to be sure that, you know, you can have bruised feelings, this synthetic android here. And I was like, wow, you just met the guy.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But, yeah, so that's my list for medical skill.
All right, let's go Faith, Aaron, then I'll go last on this.
Okay, top of my list was the Doctor. Strangely enough, just because of the way, you know, we got to watch him evolve, and at the end of everything, he was actually very good at what he did. Followed by Phlox, then Bones, and strangely enough, Pulaski was higher than Crusher, McCoy, Bashir.
She did operate and save Jean-Luc Picard's life when his heart valve implant was failing.
Well, and she's actually, you know, as much as I want to dislike her as a character, I have noticed as I've rewatched these episodes that she does actually improve morally as a human being. She actually stops being as much of a bitch.
Yeah, she does. It's like later on.
Yeah, she starts to acknowledge, you know, Data as what he is, and starts to appreciate him for his potential instead of just, oh, you're an object. Congratulations, you're a moving paperweight.
You're a moving paperweight. Oh my god!
That's she treats him initially.
Right, right. Oh my god, that's hilarious. I love that. I love that. Wow, that's great. So, so you got the Doctor, you got Phlox, and did you put Pulaski above Bones, or did you put Bones above Pulaski?
Bones above Pulaski, because his common sense meter is actually existing where hers is not. She's oblivious. She could walk straight into a problem and not see it until after the fact. Oh, I was supposed to deal with that? Okay.
Right, right, right. Okay, and then... Wait. And I guess Bashir's at the bottom of your list?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, interesting. So, if we're just talking pure skill level, obviously the Doctor... If you're going to have anybody in your corner, you need him in pure skill level. Next I would pick Crusher. I think she's probably the most competent of all the doctors. She just seems to be well-rounded. She knows not just human anatomy, she knows other anatomy, and she knows how to do, and she seems like she's up on all the medical journals. Next I'd pick Bones. he seems like I said, he's good in a pinch for most things, especially if you're human, if you're Klingon, you're SOL.
If you're anything but human, you're SOL.
Yeah. Well, he did all right with Spock once in a while. Not all the time. He did put his brain back, though. And then subsequently forgot everything. And then I'd pick Bashir. I'm sorry. After Bones, I'd pick Phlox, then Bashir, and then Pulaski. And it's not anything against Pulaski. I just I'm not. She just doesn't do anything for me whatsoever.
Yeah, I definitely hear you there. She's gonna be at the bottom of my list. So I would go the Doctor. He is by far the. I mean, it's sort of a cheat since he's a hologram, but not only does he have everything built in, but he develops so much technology against the Borg. He like figures out how to take down species 8472 by using Borg technology, and the Borg couldn't even figure it out. I mean, this guy is like way beyond like anything, and he always is expanding his program. He also almost becomes more human than Data could ever hope to, even though he doesn't have a physical form.
Right. Right. I have some issues with that, too, but I guess we'll talk about that later. So,
I had the personality part, yeah. I didn't take bedside manner into account at all. I just took like pure medical skill, what we see in the show.
Well, I look at it as like if you were stuck, like if you, you know, had some terminal disease, who would you want working on you?
The Doctor.
Yeah, that's how I looked at it, too.
He'd be the top person I'd pick. Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, at that point, Pulaski goes a little higher on my list.
Wow. She got bumped up.
Well, there. She may be a bitch, but she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, she is a competent surgeon. But the only problem with Pulaski is we only see her for one season. So she's kind of like at the bottom of the list just because we get the least experience with her. And there's some episodes she's not even in the second season.
That's true.
So
she did have a surprising amount of depth while she was on screen, but it was not enough to fully establish her.
I would probably go number two would probably be, I would say Phlox, because he was an alien, so he had lots of knowledge. You know, he had knowledge on Klingon anatomy, Vulcan anatomy, he knew how to do humans. I'm sure he worked on a Sulon, he was dissecting them, and he was all good with that. So he's extremely versatile. And seem to always have a good head on their shoulders.
He's a mad scientist.
And I love his leeches and his bats and how his sick bay is a zoo.
That's honestly...
It can't be sanitary for the people.
Yeah, honestly, that's why he was so low on my list, because I would not want to be in the same sick bay with Phlox. He's just too... There's too much weirdness. I mean, that episode where they're... spending the night in the sick bay is just
and they're chasing all the animals.
I would literally lose my mind. I'd be like, I mean, I've spent a couple nights here and there in hospitals, and it's hard enough just to sleep. I can't imagine with like bats and ferrets running all over.
But another thing that makes him more versatile is he's got these animals and he can treat them. He also treated Porthos.
Yes, he did.
So he is a veterinarian on top of being a regular medical doctor, surgeon, and all this other stuff. So he is extremely, extremely versatile character as far as doctor and skills go. I would probably...
I just think I'd rather die than be in that sick bay.
Yeah, then I would probably go Crusher. Because she's, you know, just general all-around good doctor. She has the advantage of being born in the 24th century. Then I would probably go Bashir. Wait.
Are you getting Crusher the edge just because she's born in a different century?
It's gonna help, especially when it comes to Bones. Because Bones, like as we've already established, has no good alien knowledge, really. I mean, he's kind of okay with Vulcans, but, like, you know, anything else other than humans, he's... pretty SOL as far as, or you're SOL if you're not human or half Vulcan.
Right.
So next would probably be Bashir. I know we don't see him do anything super amazing. You know, he cured that one race so their progeny can, you know, live on. He made the girl unretarded to get in her pants and not feel bad about it.
Oh my God.
he also tried to like cure tetracell white. I mean, like, this is a drug that the Dominion troops were meant to get high on and supposed to not be able to live without. And he was trying to fix a biological need built into them.
That was actually pretty cool. And he didn't quite get there because he didn't have enough time, did he?
O'Brien had an issue with him trying to help the Jem'Hadar.
You just want them sweet ass, don't you, Bashir?
those really rough-faced two-year-olds. No, but they accelerated aging. Like, most Jem'Hadar didn't live past like 3 or 4. I mean, they were all just like.
I know, but you had to go there.
You were the one wanting the sweet ass. And I just reminded you how old they were. So technically, I didn't go there.
Now I need a drink.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, Kes was 3, and Neelix was all over there.
I'm still against that in so many ways.
So it's not like Star Trek hasn't gone there before.
Right.
No. Only going there where it's gone before. Yeah.
Where no Talaxian has gone before.
No, he was there.
He was there. He docked his shuttlecraft in that. In that shuttle bay.
And her hands got all webby, too. It was gross.
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
When she got accelerated into heat, and they're like, oh, do we gonna have babies or not?
He's like, we're going to be stuck together for, what was it?
It was like 48 hours of just being stuck with her, like, webbed hands and webbed feet and, like,
Spider-Man is having me for dinner tonight.
I think they're Black Widows.
Yeah, I know.
The Ocampa,
yeah. So you got Bashir, and then who's after Bashir?
Let's see. I would have to say honorable mention Dr. Saylor, because I think she should have been the doctor for season 2 instead of Pulaski. Because we honestly have way too many humans as doctors. The only one non-human doctor we have is Phlox. Sort of the hologram.
No, the hologram is not human.
He's modeled after human.
What? You could have modeled after
Data.
Vulcan. Who cares?
So is Data.
Those Data. Okay, whatever. But he looks like he's a hologram. But he replaced a human doctor that died. A human male doctor that died.
That doesn't matter anything.
Yes, disagree with me. This is what we're here for.
That has no bearing whatsoever. Okay.
So we have a hologram doctor. Okay. A hologram, an alien, and then the rest are all humans. It would be nice to see a cold Vulcan doctor for season 2.
I agree.
Instead of Pulaski.
It would have been interesting.
And she would at least got along with Data, and I wouldn't have hated her for that.
Yeah. Well, I think you just wouldn't have hated her because she's attractive looking.
Kelly Flaxon.
Yeah. She's very attractive. Yeah. So,
and then the bottom of the list will probably be, and then after Saylor, we'll say Pulaski, because she does seem to be up on her medicine, and then Bones would be at the bottom for reasons.
You're putting Pulaski over Bones? I am hurt in a deep, deep way.
I'm all about controversy here.
Oh, you cut me. You cut me deep.
Wow. Oh, she's going to be on the bottom of my list. Wow, no.
Near the bottom of my list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, now that you've scarred me.
And probably all the listeners, too.
Yeah.
But like I said, like there's a definite advantage of being born in the 24th century. She's going to have a lot more training and stuff than he ever had. And
yeah, that's true.
And I think she saved Picard from a more deadly situation than Bones saved some people from, so.
Well, Bones has cured a lot of diseases. So Bones got a couple things going for him. Like he's better at the human physiology, but he does seem to have a good idea how to get into figure out how diseases are contracted and how to cure them. We see that multiple times in the episodes, like the Deadly Years and Naked Time. What was the other one I was going to say? Oh, we were also saying that. Bones is his go-to is the drugs, where like Phlox is the more Bones is always shooting you up with shit
with strange experimental drugs.
Yeah, he's always just like, yeah, just shoot him full of that, you know. He's
It was sexy.
Rob's his natural homeopathic, whereas, you know, Bones just cooks his own.
Yeah, yeah, he's a little meth lab.
If you're looking to get high, Bones is your man.
Yeah.
So maybe
you want for what you're won.
I don't know. Flux
this
was
is the
really...
way I want to feel. I want to taste all the colors.
Flux would have stuck a slug on you, and you might have gotten high if the slug had like some weird secretions. You might have gotten high.
In season three and four, when they're trying to fix the ship after it's gotten attacked by the Zindi, she was shooting up Trip with stimulants all the time to keep him going.
Well, I mean,
and he was giving him sedatives after his sister died too.
Yeah. That's
of course,
true.
Then he made him go to T'Pol for the neural pressure.
Yeah, he kind of...
Neural pressure.
Yeah.
Oh, neurons are in any part of your body.
You mean the penis pressure. Yes. So, but he's more holistic. That's what he realized. He says,
he's the hippie doctor.
Yeah, he's like, you don't need drugs. You need sweet Vulcan loving. And that's why he sent
it
over.
That's a prescription for anything, man.
Let's see. I can get you some Pong Far in 7 years.
So
we all have varied decisions on how we rank them medically. Because, I mean, it's all going to be a matter of opinion and what we see. You know, Bones would definitely be higher if he... like was able to help Gorkon more, or
you're holding that against him.
Gorkon was their last best hope for peace.
Yeah, but they pulled through in the end. That's the great part about that crew.
Only because Scotty shot Odo.
What? He shot Odo. Oh, yeah.
Reger Auberginois.
Well, okay.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, so. Now let's rank our doctors, the doctors we love the most, like all together, not just medical skill.
Yeah, like personality wise, like let's rank the doctor there. Pulaski will be at the very bottom of this one. I promise, at the very bottom.
I don't believe you. Lies, I'm telling you. I feel the betrayal already.
Lies. Fooled you once, shame on me. Fooled you twice, shame on me some
Never
more.
Never again.
All right, Dave.
Let's start with Ange. You want to start?
Yeah, start.
Why don't you start?
Okay, I'll start. Okay, so who I like the best personally?
Who do you want to watch the most? Not just you know, I mean, just everything.
Who do I want to see the most?
Yeah.
Kalar? No, Solar.
Solar.
I would have wanted to see her the most. No, but the Doctor is probably my favorite to watch.
I knew you were going to say that.
He's funny. He learns a lot about being human. Like the Tinner Tanner Doctor Spy episode is the best opening of Star Trek ever, and it's a Voyager episode. And he's singing, and then Tuvok starts to cry, and then he's like changes the lyrics of the like opera song he's singing to get people to like, you know, subdue him, and is like talking about him going to Punk Bar about 7 years or so. I'm like, it's just an amazing opening. I would watch that opening over and over and over.
Does the actor actually sing that?
I would assume he does. I mean, I'm sure.
I didn't know. Maybe they.
I would have thought he did.
Was it a voiceover? I mean, it could have been.
He sang a lot, so I'm pretty sure it was him. I mean, he was teaching 7 of 9 to sing, teaching her on a date, and they did a lot of singing together. He also had a whole episode where he sang opera for the thing. And if he didn't, I think that would be awful to be an actor and have to do a whole episode where you're doing 90% of singing, and then you don't actually sing.
Well, I think I've seen Robert Picardo do some singing in a different show. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it seems like he knows how to sing.
I'm pretty sure it's him because, I mean, I would, you know.
Well, I mean, like Spock playing that Vulcan harp thing.
Yeah, but we did it like a couple times, and it wasn't for like an entire episode. We're like,
I know, but I'm just saying it wasn't real. So,
oh yeah, I mean, it's probably
it's a prop,
probably not even a real instrument.
Yeah, no, it's a prop. You can't play that. Doesn't make any sense. Okay, so you got the Doctor.
I would say the Doctor. Next one I probably like to watch the most is Bones. So Bones is at pretty much the very top of this.
Thank
list.
You, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Redeemed yourself.
Bones. Briefly. Yeah. You know, I keep saying Bone. Bones is brilliant to watch. And in this Trek versus Trek series, I rated the original series fairly low down at list two, just for continuity and for episode flow in general. But Kirk, Spock, and Bones are the most watchable characters in all of Star Trek,
yeah.
Regardless of the story. They are the most watchable. The chemistry's there. Like we talked about, I think, in our first episode, they're like the Trinity. They're like, they bounce off. They're like different parts of the same person, and they have to be together to really function. And so seeing Bones is seeing part of Kirk and seeing part of Spock. And so Bones is extremely interesting to watch, extremely likable. He's got the banter with Spock, which people say Pulaski's like the female Bones, but she's just downright mean to Data. I feel like McCoy
has
and Spock,
like a,
they're just he jokes hard at Spock. He's busting his balls.
I think Bones doesn't get Spock a lot. I think he gets him like he doesn't like relate to him, but I think deep down he learns to like him. And I think the other side of it is that he's compared to Pulaski. He has this there's a charisma and something about him that you like no matter what. So there's something, his relationship with Kirk and even, like you said, the banter with Spock, that gives him something that's more likable.
Yeah, the personality is fantastic. And Star Trek V, as terrible as the movie that is, the campfire scenes are the best scenes of that movie. I wish there was a lot more campfire scenes. It was just the talking between Kirk, Spock, and Bones, and that is just so great.
Wouldn't be one I picked. The only thing I like about Five is the scene where Cybok shows between Spock and McCoy their pain.
Yeah, that's a fantastic scene cinematography wise, and I want to talk more about that when we actually talk about Star Trek Five.
Right, but and I kind of always wish they went into like a Kirk. But obviously, because Shatner was directing, he's like, Kirk can't have any pain shown on screen.
Well, if you want to see Kirk's pain, you should watch the Star Trek Continues episode, The White Iris. We get to see Kirk's pain in a way you would have never, ever seen Kirk's pain. So this is a nice plug for Star Trek Continues. Go watch Star Trek Continues, The White Iris, if you want to see what Cybok's pain for him might have been.
Okay, so you got the Doctor, you got Bones.
And then the next, probably Bashir. He's a lot higher up on this list because Bashir,
he's likable
more than any character in most of the series in Star Trek. He has an arc. Mm-hmm. He is this bumbling, chugging at anything that might have a skirt, and failing most miserably at picking up anything. Except for he gets Leeta, and then he just has this nice little happy cleaning his hands of her on Risa, which I thought was weird. I'm like, she seems like a really good score, if you want to go with a Riker scores moment. I mean, but he gets her, and then he just lets her go really quick. And then, he starts as this bumbling fool, and then he grows and becomes less bumbly. Then we learn that he's an augment.
Right.
And that totally changes everything. He does these crazy calculations on the probability of winning the war, like C-3PO. Like, just does this in his head, and it's really interesting. And then he gets involved with Section 31, which is also super interesting. So I really wish they would have introduced Section 31 earlier so we could have seen more of Bashir doing that.
Yeah. Okay, so you got Dr. Bones, Bashir.
Then I would probably say Phlox. I enjoyed him because he's an alien doctor. We don't really get much of that in Star Trek. I liked his weird holistic healing. I liked that he had a weird smile, and he had interesting chemistry with all the crew, especially T'Pol, because they were the alien duo on the ship.
Yeah, and they were kind of at odds with each other.
Yeah, very opposite people. He was always trying to get her to see the bright side of things. So I really liked his personality in that way, and he was always a fun doctor to watch. And then I would probably go Crusher. Mm-hmm. And then, she's okay. She's, not... she doesn't annoy me the hell away, but I she's also not super interesting.
Okay, and then obviously Pulaski's
at the very bottom. Faith, right. I did not lie.
There you go. Okay.
I will hold on to this to remember later.
Oh, yes. She is unwatchable for her hatred of Data.
Okay, so mine, I pick, my top is Bones. I grew up with Bones. McCoy is just, he is etched into my memory as as the Doctor. I can't put anybody above him. And there's been a lot of different people who, the Doctor from Voyager, he's obviously immensely talented. He's fun to watch, but Bones is it for me. I just can't get away from it. So the next is the Doctor from Voyager. He is just super entertaining, engaging. Definitely. When you see him. He's just so fun to watch. Next, I love Crusher. I think Crusher is amazing. I think the only thing I ever really I like Crusher's morality in a lot of things, that she always kind of has to steer the captain to certain things, even or go against like Starfleet orders, and she will fight those things. I like that about her. The only thing I've always was curious about, and they never really resolve it, is that there seems to be a thing between her and Picard, and you keep on wanting to happen, but it never seems to really happen.
I think if they did more of that, and they didn't tease it once in The Naked Now, and then once in Season 7, I might have liked her more, but like, to me there just wasn't a lot to her other than those two things.
I think she's, well, I know, but I mean, just like, I mean, I really like the character, and I always kind of, honestly, in my hearts of hearts, I always wanted to see, I mean, they talk about it in the, well, not Best of Both Worlds, the last episode, what the hell is it called, of Next Generation?
All Good Things.
All Good Things, that they were married for a time.
Yeah, okay. So
they allude to that.
They mentioned like three times, because she's Captain Picard.
Yeah, right, but I mean, it was just
she
like,
his name.
But it's just like, I always kind of like wanted to see that, and just never saw it, and never happened. Like, they would have like, what do they have, breakfast together or something? I can't remember.
They'd have tea and breakfast. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that was cute and everything, but I was like, you know, okay, once, what's going to happen? What are they going to, like, and it just never did. So I was always disappointed with that. Next, I have Bashir. Bashir is actually fun to watch. There's a lot going on with him that, his story is interesting. He is so pivotal in a lot of Deep Space Nine as just a story as a person. So he's great.
Yeah.
Then I have Phlox and then Pulaski. I'm not a huge fan of Phlox. I don't hate Phlox.
He's too eccentric for you.
It's like they're trying to be weird with him. I don't know. It seems like they're trying too hard. But that's just me. And Pulaski, just not my favorite. So, Faith, why don't you do yours?
Surprisingly enough, the top one for me was actually kind of tied between the Doctor and Pulaski.
Why don't you explain that?
Well, they were both really interesting to watch. Like, my favorite episodes tend to be tied between the two, because Pulaski always stirs something up, but when you see what is going on, she really just kind of pushes everybody around to the right perspective. She just has a really backwards way of doing it. So, like, I've always enjoyed being able to see the amount of controversy that she stirred up and how much she made everybody around her think. And it was the same thing for the Doctor, because at first, you know, he's this really gruff, just unpersonal, just rude person that towards the end of the show is probably one of the most empathetic members of the crew.
Hmm. And most human.
Yeah, he's easily the most human of them all. I mean, how many times does he actually end up rescuing everybody on the ship?
At least two or three times?
Yeah, I think I'm up to three so far. But after them is Bones for me, because that's who I grew up with. Like, so for me, when I think of a Doctor from Star Trek, that's the first person I remember. Followed by Phlox, because he's just interesting for me to watch, and I like the way he integrated with the crew, how he was so much fun just to enjoy. And then everybody else was kind of lumped in together, because like, I liked Beverly Crusher, but she was a little too motherly for me to enjoy being able to watch her on the screen. Like, she was great, but it just seemed like they made her maternal instincts the dominant part of her character.
Mm-hmm. Except for that she never really mothered her son very much.
Exactly. Which just, I didn't get it, and I could not make that mesh well, and for me, that was just a point loss.
Oh, and the only time she was sort of concerned for him when the ship was freezing, when they lost power, and she's like, oh, maybe I could give him a sedative, and Picard's like, let him die a man. Don't let him die in his sleep.
Good old Picard.
It's the only time I can remember her really being kind of motherly. Because every time he went and talked to her, she was just kind of like, oh, yeah, yeah.
No, she, in the beginning, she was more. They've definitely tried to push that. They really were pushing that in the first and second season.
Well, they were shopping together in season one and Encounter at Farpoint. They were.
How about this pattern bolt? Yeah, that's what your son's going to say to you. Your son doesn't give a shit about that. It's like, Mom, where's the video games?
Although he resisted playing the game in the game.
That's true.
He didn't like it. But Picard was all about that game.
There's some game, some games I don't know how to play yet.
Kissing Ashley Judd.
Better learn that
one. Poor Ashley Judd.
So I'm guessing Bashir is at the very bottom of your list. Faith.
Yeah.
Bashir lost. All right.
What don't you like about Bashir?
It's more like, what do I like about Bashir? I'm so indifferent on him, and it's just like there's nothing on either end of their scales. It's just kind of like gray.
I could see that a little bit. You know, he's not – he doesn't stand out as much, but there is some – he does – to me, I mean, he's done a lot in that series. But
if it's a Bashir episode, it's also a good chance it's going to be a Garak episode. Well, Garak's amazing.
But Garak kind of steals the – the scenes.
Exactly. Which is why it's amazing.
Yeah.
Especially in the early seasons.
Bashir's just a very much support character. Like, even when he's supposed to be the leading role, he doesn't really seem to own it very much. So, he didn't really gain my interest.
Gotcha.
He just wasn't there to be noticed. He wasn't spotlighted well enough.
Well,
I wanted to like him.
Well, I think he wasn't spotlighted very well because he wasn't very popular in the first two seasons. And so they really downplayed him, like, seasons, like, I guess, like, 2 through 5 whenever you got his backstory.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of hard to build him back up. And I guess they gave him the Section 31 stuff to kind of like
make it more interesting. I got to admit, when that Deep Space Nine first came out, Bashir, I just was like, who is this guy? I was like, I did not like him right away. It took me a long time to like him.
I had to watch Deep Space Nine all the way through like 2 or 3 times to appreciate Bashir. I didn't like him at all at first, but then now that I see the whole thing and his arc, he's really an interesting character.
No, he's a great character. There's a lot of cool stuff about him. But, I mean, that first two seasons, like you said, is just like...
Well, the first two seasons are rough to watch anyway. As much as I love Deep Space Nine, the first two seasons are super tough to watch.
Especially with
Cisco they Jake definitely and were.
All that, it's just...
Any Jake episode, I want to pull out my eyes.
Yeah. I love you, Jake.
I love you too, Dad. We're gonna cuddle on the medical bed because we're here so often. It's more comfortable than the Cardassian bed since we were at least allowed to import these from Starfleet.
I got my Tempur-Pedic bed.
Dad, I'm gonna hook you up with this girl I found. She's a captain. She's a higher rank than you.
Jake, you know how I feel about that.
We have to be at least equal rank. So, like, you know.
She can't pull rank on me.
So we got to
figure.
So we got to send her away to prison and then get promoted to captain before I can really commit.
That's right. I like my women hard. They've gone to prison and then come back. I don't want to know what you did. I don't want to know what you did.
And with how many people at the same time.
All right, so.
I wonder how the Federation prison showers go.
Shifting gears. Shifting gears. Let's do. Let's finish this up with Andrew and your fave.
Okay, so my fave is Phlox. I know it's a little unconventional.
Yeah, it's a good choice.
But I like the fact that he was Denoblian, and I like the fact
we never saw the Denoblian again.
True,
they just disappear.
I know.
They quit the Federation after that.
Fox is just like, we gotta get away from these people. These people they're fucking nuts.
They only have one wife? What the hell? I can't deal with this.
What a bunch of prudes.
I know, right? Right?
I really like how he and T'Pol kind of challenged the human's view and challenged how they're going to take a role in space travel. The one episode where you have the two species and one of them's dying of a genetic disorder and the other one is kind of making its way and evolving because they're two sentient beings
right.
on the planet. And one's evolving and they're doing great. And Phlox is told to make a cure for the one that has a genetic disorder. And he does it, and he tells the captain, no, I'm not going to give it to these people because this is their natural progression. This species is on its way out, and this one's going
in
evolution.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
And, you know, even Archer, you know, whenever we figure out what this directive is going to be, it's like, really, you're just going to...
You're going to throw that in
really going to foreshadow the prime directive
that
way.
We're going to use directive.
Yes.
Right.
It's going to be the important directive.
Yes.
Right.
So I really like that about Phlox, and you know, he's kind of like a hippie doctor. Like he's got the homeopathic, but then he's also like, I don't know, he's just laid back. I don't know. It's just something about him and the fact that he can puff his face up like he did in that one episode. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's always in handy, especially with the ladies, right? Right, Faye?
Well. Puff your face up.
Well, maybe his three wives like it, okay?
Well, I mean, you know, nobody likes to share.
You know, if he can puff out his face, what else can he puff out?
I'm pretty
sure.
Ah!
There you go.
Next would be Bones, and just because of his interplay with Spock, it's like you have the pretentious intellectual and then the down-home populist, and just having that, it's almost like a class war when you really look at it, and you look at the historical background of when that show came out, it's kind of a big deal in some ways, and just the way they interact with each other, I really enjoy, and just, he's a jerk, and... I don't know. I like being a jerk. I like listening to jerky people, and they're, you know, they're usually funny people. So,
yes, very much so.
But you know, he's just fun to watch. He has a lot of good one-liners, and it's really enjoyable. The third would be the Doctor, and the Doctor mainly because of his journey to become human. Although I won't hold against him that if he learns opera, he forgets how to do surgery. But
hey, B'Elanna screwed with this program a lot, so I would put that in B'Elanna.
Yeah, but it didn't work because it was only supposed to be, 2 months that the thing was supposed to run, and he'd been running for 2 years?
Well, yeah.
But his ability to become more human, like when he wrote the book and he wasn't going to get – he changed it because of the crew, and the publisher wasn't happy, and he says, well, you have no rights. You're just a hologram. And they – you know, went to his defense saying, look what he did. He took command. Janeway said he took command. That shows that he's human. He's changed. He's learned all these different skills. So that makes him really enjoyable to watch. Next would be Bashir, just because of the story arc, like you guys mentioned before. Then Pulaski. And the reason Pulaski's not last is because although she was a jerk, I feel like if she would have been on the show longer, she definitely would have been a character that we would have liked. But she was only on for a season.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe not.
I think so. But we'll never know. But
and I'm glad.
I don't know. Man. She's kind of she. What I like about her is that she seems like a character that came from nothing, and then you know she like really had to fight her way to get where she was. And I don't know. She seemed like a scrapper. So
she did. Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, she definitely was, but it didn't make me like her very much.
She mysteriously entered and then she left in the ether, and we never know what happened to her after that. Not even like a mention.
And last would be Crusher.
Why is Crusher last? That's what I want to
know. Crusher is last because she's too motherly, like Faye said. I don't see that. That doesn't seem like a good character in a doctor, first off. And just, I don't know, when I watch Star Trek, I don't want to see, you know, someone acting like my mom on there.
See, my mom doesn't act like that. She chases after me with frying pans and stuff like that, so.
But
I would like to see Crusher with a frying pan. That'd be interesting to see. It's a new remedy.
It's called Bash Your Brains Out.
I don't know. She seemed kind of blasé sometimes. And she was kind of like lukewarm water. Like, eh.
Yeah, I didn't see much in her. I mean, the card thing was sort of interesting. Like, you know, he got her husband killed, and then, you know, they still kind of like each other in that way, and then they just kind of like don't talk about it, and they talk about it near the end of the season, series twice.
I just want to know if she was sneaking over there to get a little Picard every once in a while.
Because it only hurts when I pick a Picard. thank you, Warp 11.
Doctor, yes. It only hurts thank when you. I, it only hurts when I Picard.
Well, come into my room. Wesley, get out of here. Mom, I was doing my algebra.
Mom, I'm trying to make Captain Picard sounds. Can't I stay and listen?
Mom, can I get a little privacy?
Mom,
in the middle of something.
Mom, can I just watch how you guys do it? Because I want to know how Picard does this.
I want to do it like an authority figure.
I want to do it like a captain does. Don't worry,
Wesley. You'll be off with the Traveler, and he'll be sticking you with his weird three fingers.
Yeah. Don't worry, Wesley. Riker has no problem with lawyers.
I'm sure to the ship.
Yeah. He's just watching through the vent.
Hey, Geordi, can I borrow your fighter?
Commander, it won't even work on you. You don't have the implants. I don't care. I just want to wear it.
Hey, Mom, before you and Picard, can you fix me with the eye implants?
Oh, all right.
If they were doing, you know that she was like oiling up that bald head.
Oh yeah.
Sliding all over.
yeah.
The Picard maneuver.
Oh wow.
She was just oiling up his head and then. Taking it for a ride.
Oh, that wasn't subtle at all.
While he reads a Shakespeare.
Oh, there you go. To be or not to be. All right, so here we go. I just want to point out a couple things with the doctors. I have an issue, and I know we've talked about this, but the doctor from Voyager seems to have, like, the most unfair advantage. He is not really a human, although he seems to have some kind of sentience at the end of Voyager, you know, that he's developed that. But he's pulling from all of Voyager's, you know, data banks of everything, and he's a conglomeration of all these different doctors and all the Starfleet medical knowledge. He does not seem like... I don't know. It just seems like a little bit like a far stretch in some ways, you know. I mean, it comes to a point like at certain point, like why do you even have like a captain aboard? Why not just have the best of every aspect of your captains and put them aboard and have them make the decisions?
Well, I mean, in the future, there's still lots of distrust of artificial intelligence. I mean, Data had to go through Measure of a Man, and then in one of the Sela episodes dealing with the Klingon Empire, Data got control of one of the ships and was captain, and his orders are questioned. And I love Data putting that guy in his place, like follow my orders, or you will be relieved of duty. Get the hell out of here.
Right, but
it was great.
Right, but I mean, it just comes to this point where it's like, doesn't that quintessentially start a challenging of why would you even have? I mean, if you had, you know, a doctor like the doctor on Voyager, why would you even elect to have like a regular doctor, even if it's Phlox or whoever you love, you know, or think is the best doctor after that. Like, wouldn't you have just every ship is fitted with that?
I think it comes down to like empathy and compassion, because basically with the doctor, up until he makes himself sick and Kes actually has to reprogram the sickness that he gave him so it lasts longer than he expects, so he can understand what being sick is for human when you don't know when it's going to end.
Yeah, but I mean, but I does, mean, does empathy make a doctor?
I think it's a yes. huge part of being a doctor.
It definitely
because that
helps.
Comes with intuition. Because if they can't have a basic understanding of what the patient's going through, being able to intuitively diagnose them is a little bit more difficult.
Well, it's not like with command where it's like, you know, these are decisions, you can make logical decisions. You know, you've got to have some compassion, some empathy. Up until that point, you're basically being treated by a computer.
Well, Star Trek's all about the human adventure and humans exploring out there. I mean, sure, they have this technology, and it's meant to be a backup. And Voyager was a special case where they got thrown out in the middle of nowhere, and their doctor died, so they had to rely on the emergency backup.
Even with Voyager, though, there is a lot of issues with relying on the emergency backup because their systems aren't meant to handle that much resource. Like the memory for that type of program alone was straining Voyager.
Yeah, no, I guess my point is like, don't we get to a point where this becomes a quintessential of artificial intelligence compared to, humankind intelligence? Like, what part do you finally say like, you know, obviously Data, you know, even though he's not human and he's always striving to find out what it's like to be human, he's just better at so much more than anybody else. I mean, we discussed before how he just takes over the Enterprise and like nobody can do anything to stop him. So
yeah, but it was kind of like when he was playing the violin and that. I mean, there's only so much. Like initially, he wasn't good at it because he didn't have the emotion. He couldn't express himself very well.
Right, but at what point does playing violin is one thing, but actually going out into space and exploring and finding new resources and new civilizations and stuff like that. Like, at what point does that completely negate it? Because it just is better to send a group of Datas out on a ship or doctors.
It's not about sending things out. Starfleet's a very volunteer program. It's not about let's send the robots and the holograms out to do our work. It's like people want to do this. I mean, they're not gonna make the robots do it or the.
No, I'm not saying that, but I mean
they want to do it. I mean.
And people aren't going to always trust some sort of machine. I mean, there's always going to be that part of humanity that prefers the human experience versus the artificial.
And plus, I mean, exploration. I mean, if you just send out artificial intelligence and it's just data gathering,
like
exploration is also about perspective too.
Right, and I agree with you. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, I would want to see obviously. You know, mankind to go out and do those things that we see on in Star Trek. But my point being is, at what point do you just send out the holographic doctor and captain and all these holographic things onto ships just to explore and find out, okay, this planet you do not want to go here, but this planet you do want to go here. You know, this part is safe, this one's not, and we'll have to deal with that unsafe part some other, you know, that kind of thing. So let that, you know.
I mean, at that point, you just need a giant probe big enough for a warp drive. You don't even need.
Well, that's my point. I mean, it's like, what point does it just like, you know, it's like, I guess that's in the end, that's my problem with the doctor. I think we have like a question of like, what point do we not need humans anymore because we have the like a program like the doctor. Well,
this is where Voyager failed completely and utterly, is that they should have gotten home at least a season early. Two would have probably been even better, and to deal with all the stuff
because the
fallout, like all the Janeway stuff, the doctor being basically sentient and like, you know, having like, you know, surpassed all the programming of any of the other medical holograms that are scrubbing plasma conduits places, like what's going to happen to the Maquis members? Are they going to like stand up for them, or is the Federation still going to treat them badly because they were registered as Maquis and that's why they were being chased down anyway? 7 of 9, what would happen with her? Like she's still, I mean, they fixed her, made her human, but she's still pretty Borgy. because she was Well, she's still pretty Borgy because, I mean, she was with the Borg so much longer than Picard was. Picard was only with them for like a week.
I'm Borgy. Well,
yeah, but that was more her, the mental, the way her brain developed, and that was something that she was overcoming bit by bit. That wasn't technology.
I guess.
Well, she did have the technology limitations because they came up with this weird plot that if she really loved someone, she would die because her Borg implants wouldn't let her. So, I mean, she still was held back by the Borg technology in some ways.
Yeah, but I think you're right. It would have been nice to see a tie up of everything with
like,
Voyager,
like the fallout, and then you know maybe have a season dealing with the fallout, then maybe send them to help finish with the Dominion War. So I mean, like it would have been really cool to like you know it bridge the gap between Deep Space Nine and Voyager, maybe a little bit more, have some cameos again with Deep Space Nine, just because I mean you know you saw Deep Space Nine on Next Generation,
right,
yeah.
That was pretty cool. I mean, like, I just felt like they wasted too much time on the Delta Quadrant. They could have got them home sooner, and we could have seen some aftermath and some resolution.
It would have been cool to see at least more than just that, whatever, that two-parter episode at the end.
They fly over the Golden Gate Bridge and there's fireworks. What is this, the end of episode 6? Yeah. Specialist, oh, we get fireworks!
I don't know. I felt more in the end that it just that it left me with a lot of questions of what does that mean for humanity? And obviously, Voyager's kind of where we get left off completely in the Star Trek universe.
That's not the end of canon, technically. The end of canon is Nemesis, because Janeway's an admiral. We see her for a second. Nemesis.
Right, right. Yeah. No, but that's...
We don't know anything else about the fallout of Voyager.
Yeah, no. Nothing. I mean, at the last episode, I mean, she's an admiral in the last episode of Voyager. But anyways, I think the Doctor brings up all these like ethical, critical questions of humankind in the end, and that's the thing that gets me scratching my head. Same thing with Data a little bit, but Data was – I was kind of led to believe that Data was kind of one of a kind, that we'd never see another Data again just because, you know, how Dr. Soong put them together.
Lore.
Well, yeah, before. But Lore was obviously was not – He wasn't built like Data, and then before was obviously not quite Data. I mean, we kind of see him in the very end, kind of like
Lol.
You know what I'm saying, like yeah. That. But I mean, but it's like, but we've never seen like an android that is so, you know, well rounded and complete like Data.
He's almost like a species onto himself.
Yeah, he's the original of species.
Not exactly human, but not exactly a robot.
Right.
But he's not like the Borg either, because I mean, they're forced.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess so. Data was sort of like, you know, that just one off. But I always kind of felt like you could do more Doctors. Like you could pre-program that, figure out his programming, and then you know. Work from there, you know, and you could see how all the steps that made the Doctor him. I mean, you have all the logs, you have everything there.
Well, there was that episode where he met Mark II. I think it was played by Andy Dick.
That was really good.
Yeah. So,
but I guess in the end, I just like, you know, where does that take us? And that's it almost to me seems like if the Federation wanted to, they would completely negate, you know, humans doing a lot of dangerous missions, because they could just send that.
That's true, but it's not Starfleet sending robots. It's humans wanting to do this because they have the passion and drive to.
Sure.
Like,
but
and then there's going to be the people that are going to be like, okay, yeah, you can tell us not to, and then do it anyways.
Well, of course, but I mean, if you're going to have a Borg encounter where you have a battle, why not send a bunch of ships that are like super heavily armed and have these kind of like hybrid holographic, you know, programs that can, like, you know, have, like, all the command and combat experience combined of all Starfleet, all the tactical strategic knowledge combined of Starfleet.
But at the same time, I mean...
Yeah, but imagine how dangerous that would be if somebody got a hold of that.
Well, I know. Exactly.
And, I mean, if Janeway had to use the Doctor as a precaution device a couple times, like, oh, I'm just going to delete your program if, you know, they don't give us what we want.
Well, there's that one episode when they went back to the one part of Earth and he got downloaded to Earth by accident and they almost lost him as a program.
Right. You know.
He got the emitter. So, I mean, there's a lot of risk with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of risk. I mean, there's a lot of risk just for the Doctor itself, you know. I mean, but, you know, if they perfected that, that program and how to do it. I mean, I there's a lot could happen. So anyways, that was my one big thought about the
doctors. You fear our robotic and holographic overlords. I embrace them.
Well, if it means I don't have to work and they do all the work for me, then I embrace them.
I'm so tempted to pull a Skynet comment right now.
Go ahead. This is, I mean, we...
Because seriously, no. I'm not that interested in technology taking all that over. Because at that point, we just become lazy as people. Because, I mean, what else do we do?
Well, I think we're kind of too late for being
watch
lazy
old episodes
people.
Of crap, do nothing new.
Then we build spaceships and actually go and do what they did in Star Trek. Or you do it.
In the meantime, we're not doing that because we're not furthering our education. We're not testing new things. We have science being taken over by this AI. So, I mean, we're not exploring continuously on our own.
Right.
That's how we get the perspective to develop new things.
Or you could be like in Dune, where the robots took over, and then humankind took the power back. You know, from the robots, and they kind of just there's no more robots at all. No robotic, no intelligence. You know, artificial intelligence just took the spice. Nobody knows this. Okay. All right. Moving on.
I don't see the Federation making that mistake. They're all about the human experience and the exploration of that.
Yeah, I think Federation makes a lot of mistakes, especially the higher-ups.
Well, the obvious
mistake. The admirals are also corrupt.
There you go. Knocking the top brass again. You're never going to make captain with that attitude.
Oh well, I'm not even ensign at this point. So you know, maybe if I get ensign, maybe I can start looking toward that captaincy. But you know,
I don't know. I see where you're coming from, Aaron. That it could be like a
just wait
slope.
For the right people to die on away missions. Field promotions are a common thing.
Yes, just let everyone die in front of me.
Just hide behind some
just
rocks.
Just be Harry Kim, but let people die in front of you because Harry Kim was very bad at the Raging of the Ranks.
You can be like Brave Sir Robin from Monty Python. You know,
just whatever
Sir
you Robin do.
I never did. When danger reared its ugly head, he bravely turned his tail to the.
So, any other thoughts on doctors?
Doctors, we need them because in space, there's lots of ways to get hurt.
A lot of weird exotic diseases.
A lot of STDs at Riker needs to be looked at. Beverly, could you look at my penis for a second?
I've got another rash.
I think you need to.
There's this weird discharge.
It's spreading a lot faster.
Okay, not a second. Give me 10.
It's growing a pair of eyes.
Certain there's some fingers. I can't tell, but they keep moving.
They keep looking up at me, and it's freaking me out.
It wasn't until it looked at me and blinked that I realized what was going on. At that point, I didn't look at myself again.
It gave me a high five.
Normally, I like that kind of thing, but...
Slapping me on the ass at that type of moment was not what I was expecting.
This is getting out of control.
Speaking of being out of control...
I did not do
You're
it.
The most beautiful woman in the galaxy. I don't know how long I've wanted to tell you that.
But you're afraid.
Yes.
Of me.
Of us, of what we might become. Then you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope is to recognize the possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars and the universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart in my day and the soul in my night.
We lost two more relays. I can't.
Shut up, kid.
And on this section of Riker Scores, we have a Riker scoring. But it's not the William T. Riker.
No.
It is the Riker Senior.
That's right. Riker's dad. Makes it with Pulaski.
It's definitely implied, and Riker is like seen run away to go puke somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's. Can I use your ready room?
I think Guinan's quarters is like right outside. I think you probably just barfed over her quarters.
I'm here to listen. Why did you puke all over my door? So Riker's estranged father, who abandoned him at a young age, not only was that enough pain, but then he also has he made it with Catherine Pulaski.
And then beat him at ninjujitsu in those ridiculous plastic outfits.
And Pulaski was kind of like nonchalant, like just like, yeah, it happened. Like,
yeah, I did it. What are you going to make of it?
Yeah.
Are you going to, like, you know, spank me?
Oh. Are you? Are you?
It's like, want to get double Riker teamed?
Father is something. Oh, my God.
No eye contact, Dad. No eye contact.
Don't look at me in the eyes, Dad, while you're doing that.
No.
There'll be no touching. None. No therapy here.
Oh, my God. Meanwhile, Pulaski's in complete Riker ecstasy.
And nobody wants to know this happened. No. Or see it. Or hear it.
I'm pretty sure the audience didn't want to have known this has ever happened. Riker didn't.
I just can't believe there is no porn out there like this.
Well, actually, if you Googled hard enough, you might be able to find it.
Oh.
I'm sure that...
Actually, dedicated fan sites out there. So you guys are absolutely amazing. I don't know what you're on, but keep on going.
I don't know. I've Googled things pretty hard in my past.
Thank you. Just be careful.
I've Googled till it hurts.
I got to Google with me.
It only hurts when I pick Google.
What was that? What's the Riker... tweet page, Riker.
It's Riker Googling.
Riker Googling. If you haven't seen that, that's really worth checking out. It is hilarious.
I have an underground Twitter called Instant Acting where I have it set up as Worf Alta Vista ing. I don't.
A reference almost nobody's going to get.
But I'm not quite as up to date as them. I'm trying to do better on that one, but if. You guys are following on Twitter. It's at Ensign Acting.
Ensign's acting badly. Oh, man. Yeah, so there you go. Pulaski and Riker Sr.
And possibly Riker Jr.
This is all speculation. This is not...
Holodeck program, Riker 64.
No, it's 70.
Oh, that's what. Yeah. There you go.
Because the ones prior to that are the ones that are his go-to. That one's the, you know, that's the backup.
That's the backup. Oh, God.
Oh, crap, the other ones aren't working. Damn. No! Pulaski it is.
I'm bored. I'm going to do Pulaski now.
It might be his cold shower.
Pulaski minus 20.
Yeah, there you go.
Pulaski minus 20 years. Run program.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Oh. Three drinks. Three drinks after this.
Only three?
Well, I can't count the ones I've already had.
Yeah, there you go. All those.
That's not fair. That's cheating.
Yeah, right.
All snare and love and drinking.
Very true.
Anything to forget this moment.
I'm going to need it just to forget penis with the eyes. What is he doing when he's masturbating? No eye contact? You know? I mean, come on.
Everywhere I look at his eyes.
It's going to haunt my dreams.
It'd be hilarious if the eyes are looking at him like, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me?
It hurts. Right now.
But it's like kind of like, but they're like,
three?
They're kind of like googly eyes, and they're like shaking around, like Cookie Monster being shaken violently.
Riker's really
nom 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 nom.
Not shaken.
Yeah, right. That's funny.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of The Doctors. Next week on Synthaholics, we have not decided what we're talking about. So tune in then to hear what we decide.
Thank you all for listening. All my music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. and you can follow us on Twitter at SynthaholicDuo. If you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan.
You can follow me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004. Faith, where can they find you?
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. And if you have a chance, please rate and review so we can improve. And any feedback is welcome. And so we can make the show even better for you.
Live long and prosper, guys. At the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. Only we were drinking right now.
It's not safe to drink during these shows. There's a couple of times I almost, well, I did end up with tea up my nose.
Well, it was kind of funny. Like whenever I said, "Is she going to spank her?" and I was like, oh, I was trying to like divert the sentence, and I couldn't figure out how to divert it.
I decided to start going with things because I think it's just better.
No, they don't kiss us back, and they request. Oh,
she always
very
wants
little.
To take my. But, she yeah. always wants to take my temperature rectally. I don't know why.
Really weird.
All right, a few things.
Give us a few words, Andrew, so I can hear the sound. Run a play through the recorder after you can say something.
A few words.
A few words.
Are they wise words?
Say some more wise words.
Wise words.